what the pass shot is, yeah?
Well, maybe we should do it.
Do you want?
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah, we'll start from this page. Just by the way, the photocopies that were handed to me, I don't know if they should be on the recording, they were a bit off, but I'll show you the way that they work anyway. But anyway.
Don't worry, you can always edit them.
Exactly, so I hope so, I'm sure. Exactly, anything stupid I say can be edited.
Or clever, or too clever.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Okay, so so this week's parsha is Va'era, and we finished off last week's Torah portion, where Moses is very upset with God, and he says, you know, the Jews are in Egypt, and it's a very bad environment there, right? There's a credit crunch. There's just been 7 years of famine, and they're also getting attacked. The Jewish people are also getting attacked. They're getting beaten. And so Moses gets very upset and he says, God, why are you mistreating these people? Right, which is where you see already the signs of a true leader. Israel, as we know you, Israel, means wrestle with God, right? Sarkel, wrestle with God. And that's why, when does Jacob get the name Israel? After he has a fight with the angel of God. So after that, he is told that his name from now on is called Israel. For you have wrestled with God and you have won. And therefore the whole mission of a Jew, or one of the missions of a Jew, is to wrestle with God. Meaning when God creates certain difficulties in the world, if there's an illness in the world, it's our job to wrestle, both to question and ask why, but secondly, and more importantly, to do something about it, to find a cure, to spend our days wrestling, to not let God get away with doing anything that doesn't seem to be appropriate. And therefore Moses, at the beginning of his leadership, says to God, why are you mistreating this nation? That's how we finish off last week's portion. So God begins this week's portion by saying, we'll read inside, V'yedaba Elokim el Moshe v'yoma elav ani Hashem. And God spoke to Moses and said, I am Hashem, which he uses the name Yud Kevavke, right? That's the name, one of the deep names of God. He says, I am, and he uses this name of God. Ve'era al Avraham, and I appeared to Avraham, al Yitzchak, ve'al Yaakov, ve'kel Shakai. I use the name of Kel Shakai, u'shmi Hashem, lo nadaiti lahem. And he said, but my name, Yud Kevavke, my name that I mentioned to you, I never appeared to them. So he's telling Moses that, look, Moses, I have always shown you a deeper level of myself. To the forefathers, I only appeared with the name Kel Shian Dalad Yud. And here, I've appeared with you with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. V'gam hakimoti et biti etam latet lahem et eretz kanan et eretz mugreem asher garavah. And I also made a covenant promising to give them the land of Canaan. And basically, I'm not going to go through the whole portion, but basically God goes on to say that, look, your complaint is somewhat justified. I shouldn't be mistreating the people. Now I'm going to fulfill the promise that I made to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that I'm going to take them out of the land of Egypt. Right, so Moses asked God, why have you mistreated the people? How can you let this go on? And God replies, I'm gonna take them out. And that's when all the miracles begin, the 10 plagues, and he starts taking the Jews out of Egypt. Okay, so this is the source material for this Maamar. This is the Maamar starts on these words, Va'era el Avraham el Yitzhak ve'el Yaakov ve'kel Shakai o'shmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. And Rashi on this explains, on this verse that I have appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob in the name of Shein Dalad Yud. Have you all heard of this name, Shein Dalad Yud? So there's a midrash that says that the way God created the world was he took a stick. That begs a lot of questions, but anyway, God took a stick or his finger, and he put it in the middle of space, which also begs a question. And the world started forming around this point. And the world got bigger and bigger until the world got so big, meaning this point was the center of the universe, and therefore was the holy place which was touched by God. And the further away, the less inspired or the less influenced by God this place became. So therefore, at a certain point, God said enough, which the Hebrew word for enough is die, right? Enough. And therefore, God said, die, it's enough. And that's why one of the names of God is Shein Dalet Yud. We don't say it, we say Shakai. Because Mi Sha'oma La'olamo Dai, he who told the world, enough. He told the world, Sha'oma La'olamo Dai. That's why his name is Shein Dalet Yud. That's one of the reasons why he has a name, Shein Dalet Yud. He told the world, enough. Which always means that the further, and this place obviously is Israel, which is the Beit HaMikdash, that was a place where God put his finger down. Which is the first, it says in Maimonides that the place of the altar has to be very exact. The place of Mizbeach has to be exact, because so many different things happen there. Right, near the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, which is the place where the sacrifice, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. This is also the place that Midrash says that the mud that Adam was created from came from this place as well. So therefore, everything has to be exact. But this is the reason why there's such a name, Shein Dalet Yud, because of this Midrash. Actually,
who's Midrash? Is it?
I don't know. Sorry. actually, he mentions one of the Midrashim here. He quotes it from Gemara, but I think Bereshit Rabbah it's from. Okay? Parakeh. There's actually the Talmud, he's quoting it from the Talmud. Now, the place he's quoting from the Talmud, I don't know if it's this place, but it says elsewhere in the Talmud that Keshem Sha'oma La'olam Adai, just like God had the ability to tell the world to stop expanding, this is enough. Yom al tzaratenu dai. He should also tell our afflictions, our everything bad in our life, al tzaras, this is enough. So this is a prayer that was offered in the Talmud. That he who has the power to say enough should also say to our problems that it's enough of our problems. Fine. So now Rashi explains on these words that I have appeared to Abraham and Yitzhak at the name of Shein Dalet Yud. But the name Havaya, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, I did not let them know. Did not let Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov know. Which seems to illustrate that Moses had a deeper connection or knew God in a more intimate way than the forefathers. Rashi explains, Lo nakati lahem b'midat amitit sheli. I did not let them recognize my truth, my midah of truth, my midah of justice, of truth. Which seems a bit strange, which seems to say over here that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not aware of the true level of God, or the level of truth that God has in the world. So therefore, he doesn't have to ask the question straight up, but it seems to be begging to be asked that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were truly holy people, and Moses, of course, was holy, but to make such a statement that they didn't know the level of God that is true, seems to be very strange, especially that the whole Torah is true, right? That's why, I mean, there's so many things in the Torah that we know prove this. Just, I don't want to get, not to sidetrack, but the first letter of the Torah is a bet, not an aleph. So one of the reasons why Torah begins with an aleph and not a bet is because aleph bet.
Because it's a bet and not an aleph.
Because what?
No, yes.
Because if you would have started with aleph, it wouldn't have been bet.
No.
The reason, I made a mistake. Sorry, thank you. You could have just edited it.
I did.
You get
that right. I didn't get it.
Okay, thank you. The reason, one of those, just a very simple thing. It, mathematically, bet, gimel, and dalet equals, come on, 2, 3, and 4. What do you think? 2 plus 2 plus 4. 2 plus 3 plus 4. 2? What?
9.
Right, and then that's Bet Gimel Dalet. The what's Hevav Zion? 5, 6, and 7?
18.
Which is 9, right? 8 and 1 is 9. Chet Tet Yud, 8, 9, and 10 equals 27, which is 7 and 2 is 9, and so on and so forth. it will go forever. When the next letters will always equal 9. Because 9 is the letter of truth. Why is 9 truth? Well, first of all, because 9 is 81, 81 is 7. If you divide 9 or add 9, it always remains, like everything true, it's consistent. It always remains exactly how it is. And another reason is because Emet, Aleph Mem Taf, is 441, which 4, 4, and 1 is 9. So therefore, Torah began with Bet because it's a true Torah. And if it were to begin with Aleph, Aleph Bet Gimel equals 6. Dalet Hei Vav. Dalet Hei Vav is 4, 5, and 6 is 15. 5 and 1 is 6, and so on and so forth. Shin, Kuf, and Resh, Sheker is 600. So 6, 0, and 0, which is 6. So therefore, Torah had to begin with the Bet. That's just a cute thought. The Torah had to begin with Bet because that ends up to be true. As opposed to if it had began with Aleph, the mathematics would have always made it an untrue number. But anyway, so we know 100% that the Torah is true, and therefore the forefathers must have known that the Torah was true, or at least they must have perceived a level of godliness that was true within the Torah. So it seems to be strange that Rashi explains that what does it mean that the forefathers didn't know, they only knew about this level of God called Shakai, they didn't know about this level of God called Havai, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, means that God was trying to tell Moses they didn't recognize my true essence or my midah of truth. So Madayak Alba Maharash Mamorad Hamar skills there. Hare Kol Shemo Tav Shana Kodesh Baruch Hu Heim Emet. He asks a question. He says, look, don't we know that all names of God are true? Va'afa Pikin Omer. Nevertheless, even though we know that all the names of God are true, nevertheless, the Rashi says that Dafka Shem Havaya, specifically the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Midat Amitit, which is the attribute of truth. So you have to understand, what does this mean? What's the attribute of truth? If all names of God are true, come to Achlahavin leIdach Mashakatuv Rashi Shem Havaya Umidat Amitit. We also have to understand the other idea that Rashi says that the name of God is Midat Amitit. Hashem Havaya Hashem HaEtzem Shalomanim Adid VaHagvala. Va'afepikein Omer Shekam Shem Havaya Horak Midat Amitit Sheli Midah Miloshem Adidah VaHagvala. Okay. So what he's saying over here is we also have to understand. Rashi makes a statement that the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is, we know it to be the essence of God, the depth of God. And therefore, if it's the essence of God, it is not a midah of God, it's not an attribute of God. And therefore, what is Rashi making the statement that no, this name is the attribute of truth within God? It seems to be strange. As soon as you talk about an attribute, it has connotations of a limitation, right? If one of my attributes are that I'm kind, so when I'm being kind, I'm limited to within that particular attribute, as opposed to this name of God. When this is one of since it's the deepest name of God, it happens to be when we talk about the name of God, just in that, when I just say it in that way, the name of God, we're referring to this name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and this is always considered to be the deepest name of God. So how can we talk about it in terms of limitation? How can we talk about it in terms of attributes? It should be far more encompassing and far-reaching than an attribute. So therefore, the Rebbe Maharash explains in a Maimah, Shagam Shem Havaya Horak Ha'arav Alochei Nikra Midah. Even the name, he explains that you have to appreciate that as soon as one talks about a name on any level, right, we know that a name is a handle, right? What's the point of a name? If you lived in complete isolation, you would never need your name, unless you want to talk to yourself, and even then, you probably wouldn't have to address yourself first. Probably just begin to talk. But generally, what's a name? What's the purpose of a name? The purpose of a name is to call somebody or to call something. That's on a superficial level. On a deeper level, the purpose of the name is it illustrates what the depth of something is, right? When someone is called by a name, we're told by Adam that he named all the plants and all the animals. And that was one of his greatness. It says many places that the greatness of Adam was that he named everything, which obviously begs the question, what's so great about naming things? He could have looked at a horse and said, Gaga Guga, and that's a horse. I mean, what's so impressive? He can move his mouth in many different ways. There's nothing great about that. So it's explained that to name something in Hebrew means you have to know the essence of the thing you are naming. and therefore the words in Hebrew are not arbitrary, they're not just things that we've agreed upon because they, for whatever reason, they're pleasing to somebody's mouth, but more than that, they actually express what they are, and therefore you see so many people who have similar names, or the same names, have similar characteristics. I'm very scared of naming my children a lot of different names, because I know lots of people who have these names who,
This is a bit very simplistic.
Okay.
It's not...
Jewish?
No. It's not all the Johns are the same?
No.
All the Israel are the same?
You're saying, do I think they're all the same?
All the Eliyahs are the same? No.
No, I think within...
In Jewish belief.
Not necessarily exactly.
This reminds me, there is a saying, a rose is a rose by any name. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it comes from, but...
I don't know.
But the thing like this.
No, but look, I'm not saying everybody's exactly the same.
Not exactly.
No, but you'll see certain characteristics.
No.
There's certain names that perhaps, let's say there's a name that denotes, I don't know, extremism in some way. So it doesn't mean that in every area of this person's life they will be extreme or something. You'll perhaps see that certain characteristics, or not, meaning it might be suppressed in some way. But the whole idea of naming something Jewishly, this is the whole reason. We're told that before, by a Brit Milah, or by a baby naming in synagogue for a girl, parents are given divine inspiration. It's the only time that usual people, not like you, but like everyone else, gets Ruach HaKodesh. Why do we get Ruach HaKodesh at this time? Because it's not an arbitrary thing. You're not just commenting on a nice name that you think is appropriate. You're actually tapping into what their soul is, what God calls them. Right? We know the world was created by speech. Right? God said, Yi'or, Yi'choshes. And the Jewish understanding of creation isn't a one-time thing, but it's a continual thing. And therefore God continuously is saying, Yi'or, Yi'or, Yi'or. And therefore those letters itself, the Aleph, Vav, Resh, of awe is what keeps and sustains the light itself. And therefore, so to your Jewish name, Eliyahu or Yisrael or this, that, the other, this is the name that God addresses you by. This is your vitality. This is what keeps you around. And therefore, it's deeper than just what human beings have agreed to say. This is what it's called. It's actually the name that defines what it is. The Hebrew letters, which aren't simple letters, they are letters which each Hebrew letter has incredible depth to it. Each Hebrew letter is a divine letter that God actually drew and created, not just the way you pronounce the letter, but also the actual structure of the letter itself is divinely inspired. And therefore, each letter has incredible connotations. And the way they're mixed in a certain way, which creates a certain word, this is like building a structure. And the structure is what exists within the person. This is what keeps them alive. I'm not saying that you could do a test and prove this across the board. You're right, it might be a bit simplistic for that. But at least this is a Jewish understanding of what a name is. It is literally what God calls you.
Okay,
well,
you're
not going to buy it. It's okay. It's fine. I'm not...
I could go arguing about the Hebrew letters, but
yeah,
I'll stop there.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So therefore a name on any level is something somewhat external, somewhat superficial, right? Because it's addressing, even though it's addressing the essence of it, but it's addressing, it's a need to address the essence, as opposed to something that is completely alone, like God, for example, which is completely, not lonely, but alone, doesn't need a name. And therefore, even in such a name, a Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, where it's staying in such a deep and incredible name, it's still an expression, it's a ha'ara, it's a ray, it's something that is super added. When we zeh mashma, when this it is implied, she'geh da'avaya she'el asid lavo, this implies that the revelation when Mashiach comes is going to be higher than any type of limitation. We can connect this with the Alter Rebbe whose yahrzeit was today. The hatam alzeh she'shem havaya lenadati lehem la'avot. The reason why the Avot were not aware, were not connected to this name of Havaya, or Lefish lo nitnal HaTorah lehem, was because they did not receive the Torah. The Gil Hashem Havaya hu alidei ma'am Torah, and the whole expression, the whole way one revealed the name of Havaya came about through the giving of the Torah. Based on this, we could say the kivin shalatid lavo yagilo the pnimiot haTorah shalamanim medida. Since when Mashiach comes, you're going to get the revealed. It will be revealed the hidden parts of the Torah. Lachin gam hagilo the latid lavo yilamanim medida. Therefore, also the revelation of when Mashiach comes is going to be higher than any limitation at all, than any attribute. Is that clear?
Not very clear to me.
So, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Right.
What?
Like,
what?
You know,
that God reveals himself.
Yeah.
And the ultimate revelation.
Right.
And we're just going. This is much more than the revelation of God. Mashiach is Midah. Much bigger.
Right. It's going to be an unlimited revelation. Okay, which obviously is not something we can understand. Yeah. Unlimited revelation. But so this Ma'amar is going to be discussing these two names, right? The name of Shein Dalad Yud and the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and explain the differences between them. What's the idea that first of all it's only called a Midah, Yud Kei Vav Kei? What does it mean that the Avot didn't have this level? What does it mean?
So all the names are Midah. Each name is a Midah.
Each name is a Midah. But there is a level that has that is beyond Midah, right? Which is going to be revealed latid level. Vine zeh sheva'era al Avraham v'kel shakai hu mashomah kolish baruch al Avraham b'mitzvat milah. Where do we find that God says I revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with the name of Shein Dalad Yud? So he says, yeah, where? So he's saying, where do we see it? After by the mitzvah of Milah, he says, Ani Kel Shakai, I am the Lord, Shein Dalad Yud, Hitalech Lefanai Veheya Tamim. Right? Go before me and you will be you'll be complete. I go before you and you'll be complete. The Gilo Shehaya La Avram b'mitzvat Milah Haya b'vaday Gilo Na Lebiyoteh. It's obvious that the revelation of God at the time of the Milah was an incredible revelation. Tzarcha Havin, Kamosh Da'am Amayma, Hare Shem Shakai Haya Gam B'priyat Olam. We know, as I explained to you before, Kid Itaba Gemara, that the name of Shein Dalad Yud was also at the time of creation. As it says in the Gemara, my dichtev, what does it say in the Pasuk? Ani Kel Shakai. So he says, Ani hu, I am the one. Shamati lo lamai dai, I am the one who told the world it's enough. Shahaya harakia mitmatech boholech. What does mitmatech mean? It was stretching and going. Until God like stop, it's enough. And therefore, if this was already said, if this was the name of God that was revealed in the time of creation, what is so incredible about the fact that by the Brit Milah, when Abraham Avinu, this was the first mitzvah ever performed, and all God does is give him a name that we all knew already, right? All God does is reveals to him a perspective or a divine revelation that was known to him already, because at the time of creation already, where do we know the name Shein Dalad Yud? From the creation. So what was the new...
So where do we know it from the creation?
No.
Apart from the Chagigah?
No, right. That's it.
We don't.
No, we don't.
It doesn't appear in the Bereshit.
I'm not talking about... you're right. It's not. It doesn't appear there. But the Medrash and Bereshit talks about it. But this was... What he's saying is, this was a divine revelation. This was the divine revelation, not specifically in the name, but the power of this name was what was revealed at the time of creation. And therefore, if every time we are told that every time we do a mitzvah, or every time something good or new happens, a new divine revelation enters the world. In fact, that's our purpose: to make the world which doesn't seem to reveal godliness to be a receptacle for godliness. And therefore, every time something good is done, a new divine energy is revealed. and therefore if this divine energy was revealed at the time of creation, what was added at the time of the Brit Milah? Okay, it doesn't seem to be. He says it seems to be this. It seems to be the same word. He says, "Omar achidus b'zeh." That's exactly what he asks. That's exactly what he's asking, the same question as you asked, right? What is the great chidush? What's so amazing about that? He said, perhaps you can say, in order for the world to be created, there had to be a complete separation, a complete separation in the world's consciousness, meaning a division between the Bora and the Nivra, right? There had to be a place where God, so to speak, was concealed. And after that point is when the creation started or exists, as one sees clearly. When you look at creation today, one does not, God isn't apparent. And therefore one has to search for God within creation. So, and therefore in order for creation to be true, in the literal meaning, creation, something from nothing, something new, there had to have been a separation point where God stopped having a revealed influence within the world, and the influence had to be on a more concealed state, and therefore that was what happened at the time of creation. But when God, he said, perhaps you can say that when God told Abraham that I am Kel Shakai, he revealed to Abraham this idea in a revealed state, meaning the power of creation, which initially is not seen, is not apparent by somebody. When Abraham made the commitment to circumcise himself, God decided to put away the curtain a little bit, or to scratch away the mirror, to show him that that there's something behind it, right? It says in the Midrash that it says there is no rock. We say every day in the prayers, by Ein Kelokeno, we say Ein Sur Kelokeno, right? There's no rock like our God. Actually, when the state of Israel was created, in 1948 there was an argument about what they should say. What announcement they should make on the radio to announce that it's being created, right? That the UN has passed a resolution. So the religious people wanted that God's name should be mentioned, and the non-religious people said, look, we've been praying to God for thousands of years for this to happen, and nothing happened. Finally, we stopped praying to God, and we started fighting a little bit, so we got the land, so we definitely should not mention God at all. So somebody there was some rabbi there who said, just say Sur Yisrael. Right, the rock of Israel. So for the religious people, Tzu Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezrat Yisrael, this is the name of God. And for people who weren't religious, Tzu Yisrael meant the rock of Israel, the true Israeli spirit, the people of Israel. And therefore everybody was happy, and that was... what?
And they went dancing.
Huh?
And they went dancing more. Right.
And they went dancing. It's compromise, exactly. Why do you have mezuzah like this on your door? There's one opinion that says you should have it straight. The other opinion says you should have it like this. And so, make it in the middle. Like in the front of your home, if you want. Yes. If you want domestic tranquility, the beginning of your house, you should have a mezuzah. That's a good symbol to remember. It's worth making some compromises once in a while. As long as you're not the one making it. No. I'm joking.
Right.
Yeah. I'm easy to get on with once you don't have to worship me. So, what am I saying? Yeah, so this is mezuzah.
The od.
But he revealed himself a bit after the.
Oh, ain't so kalakeno, right? There's no rock like our God. What does it mean? There's no rock like our God. So it says that. So the Talmud says, don't read ain't so kalakeno. Don't read it. There's no rock like our God. Read ain't Sion kalakeno. There's no artist like our God. What does it mean there's no artist like our God? Well, what does an artist do? Is anybody an artist there? I'm sure everyone thinks.
Paints.
What does it, well, some of them do.
He creates?
I don't know. An artist takes a canvas that is
empty.
that is empty, and he starts painting on it. And the more paint he puts on it, the better the artist, the more he conceals the fact. The more, what do you mean? The more, are you an artist? The more, the,
yes.
The better the artist you are, the better design or what you do most on the canvas, the more you'll conceal that there was ever a canvas there. So much so that if somebody's a good artist and it's a good painting, I know that it's a very controversial statement, but if a work of art really takes you, then when you're looking at it, you hopefully will forget that it's even a painting. You'd be lost within the scene or within the emotion or something. You'll truly feel the artist has put themselves onto the painting. And therefore, perhaps you'll need, you know, in the, I think the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, his father used to take it, took him to an art gallery. And he writes in one of the things that when he went there and he saw, a scene of a war. And he said he could literally feel the war going on. You know, and sometimes if you're looking at a painting, you can really get lost in it. Someone needs to snap you out. You know, it's just a painting. Like when kids are getting scared watching a film, you have to tell, no, it's just a film, right? That would make a great director. That would make a great artist. That you get so lost in it, you forget that it's a painting in and of itself. So too, God. He created, there's no artist like God. He took nothingness, so to speak, and created a world that seems to be its own, it seems to have its own entity. Doesn't seem to be backed by a canvas, i.e. God. And therefore there's no artist like him. It's the best painting ever made because it seems so realistic and it seems to be completely independent from any creator. And therefore, every once in a while, we need to scratch away some of the paint, or we need to scratch away a bit of the surface. So therefore, at the time of creation, there seemed to be a complete, there seemed to be at least superficially, a complete removal of the artist at all. There seemed to be no canvas, there seemed to be nothing backing. And when Abraham fulfilled the mitzvah of Brit Milah, God said, you know, I'll show you a little bit. It's not so simple. You know, it's alive. As Isaac Hommel, he explains, he was a great rebbe, and he explained in his book. You can't get it anymore. They have it in Hebrew University though. It's called, I'll come to you in a minute. I saw it in the original. So he said that his original experience of Chassidut, of learning Chassidut, he said that when you're a child and you ask your mom or dad, is this alive? And your mother says to you, no, it's not alive. So a little bit of the child, you know, dies. A little bit of the child, something happens to the child within him. It bothers a child. And he said Chassidut was like, when he started in Chassidut, it was like going back to that original question, and the answer was yes. You know, everything does have vitality to it. And he said that was the feeling he got from Chassidut. So on some level, you know, Abraham has revealed this level of consciousness, this energy, on some way. So that was the difference. He's saying perhaps you could say the difference of Brit Milah, which revealed the name of Shein Dalad Yud, to the time of creation, was one was in a concealed way and one was in a revealed way. Am I too basic for everybody here? Does everybody know all this stuff?
Shift up or even.
I don't know anything more.
Oh,
no, seriously, is it too basic?
It is a bit basic.
It's because you're the smartest one here. So it's difficult.
I'm not the smartest. I'm the one, the loudest one. That's something else. I've got a text message.
I'd love a text message.
From the Rebbe.
It's about you.
How does he know? How does he know?
No, it was Tully. He said, is that guy still...
Oh, the Rebbe Tully.
The Rebbe Tully.
That's the other one.
Aval, the last line on the first page. Sorry. Hello.
It's for me.
Okay. No. Yeah. Started quite late. Okay, so just come, okay? So Oakwood Road, where my parents used to live. If you don't, so just go. Just trying to get half on Kingsley Way. What street is where you're getting?
Kingsley Way turns left. It depends which way it's going. You go to the end of Kingsley Way.
You go to
Marketplace.
Yeah, go to the end of Kingsley Way to the main road. Yeah.
Turn left.
Yeah, then make a left, and then your first left. So left and left again, and then your first right.
About 400 yards down.
Yeah, and then it's on the left-hand side, a few hundred yards down, number 74. We'll see. Might have an extra person, my wife. Fine.
Sorry, where are you doing this?
Last line. What was the first?
Last line. Are you going back?
We haven't passed it. But from the words of the pasuk, I am. Kel Shakai, Shrav Mir Zu, Gilol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Inyan Chadash Lefnei Lo Haya Bo HaOlam. From the way God says, I am Kel Shakai. Well, if it was an energy that was already revealed, then Avraham should have said, yeah, no kidding, you know, I knew that. Or, you know, or in some way, you know, I knew it, he had felt it in some way. But the fact that the way God says it, I am Kel Shakai, sounds like God saying a new revelation to him. We should know that I'm Kel Shakai. Umizem Mukach, so from this one has to be said, Shagiro de Shem Shakai, Shahayel Avram, Hunale Yoteh, Masha Amati Rolom Adai. So one must say that the revelation of this that the revelation of this to Avraham was a completely new revelation, a much deeper and more profound than the revelation of that he told the world it's enough, right? The initial creation revelation. Okay.
Is that also when Avraham gets the
He gets the hay, yeah, he gets the hay then, after the beginning. But you think this is connected? Oh, you are?
Get the godly bit.
Right. I mean, this, look. When Avraham was commanded something, that's when everything changed. Right? Because up to that point, up to the point of being commanded, it was all. He didn't know. Yeah, but he didn't know. Meaning, he could have had fantastic intentions. He could have been the most passionate person about God, and he could have done lots of wonderful things. But if God didn't tell him that this is what he wanted, it was speculation at most. Even, you know, it might have been great speculation. He might have been right in his speculation, but it was speculation. Because even between two human beings, you know, if David's, how old's your 13 years old, right? Your son. Mm. David's son's 13 years old, so he goes over and he says, you know, I want to buy, when he was 3-4 years ago, he wants to buy David a present. So, I don't know, Sony PlayStation or something is something that he would enjoy. No? Is that too much? Whatever it is. Whatever his greatest game is. Okay, so Sony PlayStation would be the best game for him. So it only makes sense that that's what his father would want. But his mother says, no, you don't understand. Actually, David probably does want a Sony PlayStation. He says, you don't understand. David doesn't want a Sony PlayStation. David's a mature guy. And therefore what he wants, for example, is, I don't know, whiskey. So he says, yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. He says, sure. All right, fine. You're saying dad is going to sacrifice a Sony PlayStation, really, for a bottle of whiskey? Okay, fine. Let me taste it. So you give him the whiskey. It burns his tongue. Absolutely disgusting. He spits it out. He says, Mom, trust me, there is no way that Dad would want this over PlayStation. It does not make any sense. And then he goes and gives his father a PlayStation. So everybody understands that what happened over here, he had beautiful intentions, he meant very well, but since he didn't find out what his father really wanted, he gave him the wrong gift, even though the gift that he tasted was disgusting and everything. Now this is between two human beings. How much more so between human beings and God? Yeah. God has many different things that he wants of us. But if we start deciding what things we'd like from him, they could be the greatest intentions. But if between two human beings it's absurd to give somebody a PlayStation when they want whiskey, and even though some of the commandments may taste disgusting or look disgusting, this and the other, and we may think there's absolutely no way that God, you think God would want this? What, are you crazy? God would be concerned about what type of meat I eat or what I keep in my pocket on a Saturday or hundreds of stupid things. Well, yes, actually he does. And the only way I know he does is because he told me. And therefore, until Abraham got this commandment of Brit Milah, in fact, the first mention of Abraham in the Torah, what's the first mention ever? The first mention, does anybody know?
Lech Lecha.
Lech Lecha. Why does it start there? Don't we know there were many other things? Abraham, Midrash says, was thrown in the fire, or Kastim. Don't we know the famous story that at 3 years old, he recognized God and all these things, all those lovely stories. They're not mentioned in the Torah. Why? This is Abraham on his own accord. The first time Abraham mentioned is when God speaks to him. Vayom Hashem al Avraham, Avraham, lech lecha me'atzcha me'latcha me'bet avika. He says, go out of your father's house. So even though God said this normal statement, just go out of your father's house, a very simple statement, this was more important than anything else Abraham had done before, but up until this time. Because before he'd been commanded, it was speculation. Before he'd been commanded, he was a fantastic human being. But once he was commanded, he became a Jew. Once he was commanded, he became godly. He got connected with God in some way. And therefore, that's why, like Abraham, the Milah, and that's why the Milah is so significant, because it's a commandment that God told him to do. And therefore, that became holy, right? The Makom HaMilah, the place of circumcision, became holy. Nothing else in the world was holy at that time, because nothing else had a commandment issued to it. Everything else was nice and spiritual and delightful and, you know, and had fantastic intentions, but it was very similar to giving your father a present that he didn't really want. So your father would be very happy. You have beautiful intentions. It's very nice. It's very thoughtful and dear to your child, a very thoughtful and dear son, but just didn't give me what I want. And that's the distinction. That makes all the difference. That's why Matan Torah is so significant and so relevant, meaning, and that's why after Matan Torah it says that you have to fulfill all the mitzvot because God said that you have to fulfill them. Meaning, even if they make perfect logical sense to you, that should not be your motivation for fulfillment of them. Motivation should be because God told you. Well, based on what we said, it all makes sense. It's obvious. Now that has to be the motivation, because if you want to do what your father wants, if you're in a true relationship with your father, then what's most important isn't the why, but it's the what. What does he want?
Wait, Sancho.
Oh, I prefer the whiskey, right.
You do?
Yeah.
You see?
What? But if you had a choice for whiskey or PlayStation, I'd say which whiskey and which PlayStation.
Fine.
Let's carry on.
Okay, but Od Rai Alza. Okay, so just briefly, the next paragraph, Od Rai Alza. He's just saying another proof that, he's basically saying that there's another proof that this is a completely new revelation of godliness. That when he told God, Anikal Shakai, it's a completely new revelation of godliness. Is because the Talmud says that when he was 3 years old, Abraham recognized God. And the Rambam says it wasn't at 3, it was at 40. And there's another opinion that it was at 48. And anyway, we just say that, but this isn't an argument, all these different ages, just perception. What does it mean, recognize God? That obviously has many, many reasons to it. But nevertheless, since he understood creation and everything at that point, that means he did know the Shein Dalad Yud. And nevertheless, when God says to him, Ani Kel Shakai, again, it sounds like something completely new. So this is another proof that since God, Abraham definitely recognized the God of creation, this new statement, Ani Kel Shakai, was obviously something completely different, a completely new to him, which transcended the original Shein Dalad Yud of creation. Okay, Gimel. V'inyin hu. We only spoke now about one meaning of Shein Dalad Yud, which means Misha Omar Le'olam Adai, right? This is one meaning of the word Shein Dalad Yud. But he said in truth, the B'Shem Shein Dalad Yud, the Shnei Purushim, there's two explanations. First one is Sha'amati Le'olam Adai, that I told the world enough. And the second explanation is Shadai Belakuti L'cho Biriya, that God gives enough godliness. There is enough Shaddai, there is enough godliness for every creation, for every creature, for all creation. The distinction between these two explanations, that there's a major difference between these two pesukim, these two explanations, and what the word Shein Dalad Yud means. Because lahapirosh Hashem Shein Dalad Yud Hosha Amati Olamai Dai. If you say it, the reason why the name is Shein Dalad Yud is because I told the world enough. When did we say? We say, I told the world enough. So the word enough, what does the word enough refer to? The world. It's enough for the world. I told the world enough. Well, Pirush Dai, so therefore the word enough is a limitation. Right? That the world should be in a completely limited way and should not stretch anymore. But according to the explanation, that enough means there is enough godliness. I have given enough godliness to every creature. Teva Dai, what does enough in that context mean? Shadai Belukutina Kobiria means it's referring to God. There's enough godliness. So the first explanation is the world is enough, and here it's godliness is enough. So the second explanation seems to be a much deeper one. It's referring to God. Opirus Dai Horiba, and also it doesn't mean limited, it means he's saying that, and also the word enough isn't an enough in a limiting way. It's saying I have given enough, meaning I give enough. I don't know, can somebody help me with another word? I measure out exactly right for every single creature, and therefore, so it's not something limiting to God. On the contrary, it's saying the greatness that however many creatures, however many there will be, there's always enough godliness for them. Like it says about how much money should you give somebody who's poor? If somebody loses wealth, how much is the commandment of charity? Until what level? So it says, "Dei machsara asher yechaselo." You should fulfill what the person was lacking. Meaning, "Rivoy godol shemamala kol mechasro." You have to fulfill everything the fellow was lacking. Meaning, if somebody was very rich and they became poor, you have to, the commandment of tzedakah is to get them to their level of the same status of richness. There's a charity in Golden Screen actually that tries to do this. I'll explain in a second. But I feel a sus lirkava of, even if the person had a horse, you should put him back on his horse. The Eved, and he had a slave, La Rus Lefanav, and he had a servant running in front of him all day. If he loses that money, you have to, the mitzvah staka is to get him back to that stature. Okay, Vezeo Achidush Ve'ir Alav Avot. Just skip the bracket. And this is what the Chidush is when God said, I revealed myself to the Avot, Bekel Shein Dalad Yud. Matchil me Avram Shanemalo Anikel Shakai Gabishem Shakai Shaya Bahabriya. This is the innovation, this is the new level of Shein Dalad Yud that is different to the Shein Dalad Yud of creation. The Shem Shein Dalad Shaya Babriat Olam Washem Shamati Olamadai. The whole idea of the name Shein Dalad Yud, the word enough, time of creation was limiting because it was telling the world enough. The Shem Shein Dalad Yud Shanit Galala Avraham, and the name Shein Dalad Yud that was revealed to Avraham, and so to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. This is saying there's enough godliness for every creation, which is a much deeper and more profound level of godliness. I'm not going to be able to go on for much longer. I'm sorry, I didn't realize what time it could be. I'm sorry.
Look at the positives here.